Alongside former Major League pitcher Josh Towers, I'm Scott Sadenberg. This is the Inside Pitch Major League Baseball podcast brought to you by pregame.com. We will be with you each and every week throughout the Major League Baseball season. We are about 3 weeks in, or 2.5 or so weeks in, to the Major League Baseball season in 2024. And Josh, we have lots of observations. The first thing I wanted to get into with you, though, is because you're a former pitcher, you spent, what, 16 years in professional baseball between minors and majors, right?
As a player,
yes, not as a coach.
Yeah.
But as a player, 16 years. And you've obviously been around the game a long time. The uptick in pitcher injuries that we've seen through the first 3 weeks of the Major League Baseball season, it's got to be alarming to you as somebody who loves the game, as somebody who spent his career throwing a baseball, to see all these guys going down. Spencer Strider, the latest one, done for the year after he has surgery. It's got to be alarming to you to see these pitchers go down with these injuries so early.
I think, cheap shot real quick. I think what's alarming is the fact that all of a sudden we care because they're big names, because it's Strider, because it's Bieber. Like, now we care. Now it's a big deal. These kids get hurt all the time. Everybody, mm-hmm. To meet a guy like me who's never had Tommy John, they're very rare, right? But there's, again, I said it, I've been doing a few podcasts this week with some former Major League Baseball GMs, et cetera. And I explained to them why I feel this is like this. And it starts down at club baseball and its journey, and the separation of 14, 15, 16-year-old club baseball to the major leagues is only 4 years. I mean, these guys have 20-year-olds in the big leagues. They have a 19-year-old in the big leagues right now. We are rushing players, and we are not developing players, and there's a mad separation between how the game should be played, how you should throw, how you should take care of yourself, and what we're actually doing. You know, watching these watching these blank lab places or whatever that they have these kids crow hopping into the walls.
Yeah.
That's not how you throw. That's not how you control your body and put it in a position to have everything, your muscles work collectively together to be able to work downhill, yeah, and get extension. That doesn't do that, right? So they're not getting enough years in. They're not getting enough innings in. And the development of minor league baseball is almost gone because we've shut the draft down from 57 to 40 to now 20 rounds. And so the allotment of money means these guys have to go to the big leagues. Otherwise, we don't look good as people who drafted, who signed off on this.
Yeah, I mean, look at a guy right now, Paul Skeens, who starts the year in the minors, he's throwing 100, 103, and everyone's like, why is he still in the minors?
He should be in the minors for 3 or 4 more years.
But that's people want him to play for the Pirates tomorrow.
Okay, great. And that's why you're going to continue to have injuries. That's 100% why you're going to have it. He went from travel baseball to Air Force. He got paid a lot of money to go to LSU. Then he was drafted, and now you want him in the big leagues. He's going to be the next guy on the disabled list with Tommy John. He's going to be the next guy we're talking about. Unfortunately, it's the way it is. We don't want to earn anything in life anymore. We don't want to develop. We don't want to put the work in. We just want to rush to the big leagues. And so we're paying the price with pitchers with all these injuries. It's not going to stop until we go back to actually teaching the game, actually developing and actually building the arm strength. These guys are hitting the gyms at a much younger age. Mm-hmm. They're playing a lot more baseball at a young age. And again, they do things at a young age that we wouldn't do at the professional level. I have a kid that I work with today. He pitched on Monday, complete game. Mm-hmm. Then he pitched on Wednesday, complete game. You think
it's like 7 innings, high school level?
Ever do that as a Major League Baseball player or in minor leagues? Yeah. Never. So they're not developed, and then they're doing things and throwing way more than we ever would, and we're in good shape to an extent, right? So there's a whole connection that's causing this, where it's a big deal now because we have these massive names, mm-hmm, that are going down. It's not going to continue until we start getting back on the let's develop and not rush train.
But do you think it's a problem with the way that the game is now, where we're so reliant on just the power pitchers, right? The idea of a guy, sure, coming out of the bullpen throwing 100 to 102 miles per hour. There's a lot less And tell me if you agree with this, because I see it as a baseball fan. There's a lot less pitching and there's more throwing.
Correct. It's been like that for a while. Because, and we said this, because all these people that are my boss who've never played the game, they think that this computer is teaching. Mm-hmm. They think that looking at these numbers and my downhill induced vertical break
or and the spin rate on the ball, right?
They think that that's pitching. Mm-hmm. That's not pitching. So when you teach these kids to crank these numbers up, hence the crow hopping into the wall.
Yeah.
When you teach them to do that, you're not teaching them how to pitch. You're not teaching them how to develop. You're not teaching them how to adapt. You're not teaching them how to use their bodies. You're not teaching them how to recover. The post recovery. You're not teaching them anything. You're teaching them how to throw as hard as you can, and that's pitching. And so they're doing it, and then they're getting hurt, and then you're questioning it. You've created this monster.
Do you think also, and I thought about this, because you and I had a disagreement about the pitch clock as far as being involved in the actual injuries. I think it has something to do with the injuries, not because I don't think these pitchers have rest time in between pitches, and that's something that you said. Like, you got plenty of time. Like, you were always taught how many seconds, right? When you were with the Orioles organization, you guys learned how many seconds to throw in between pitches. But I think now, because there's a lack of time in between pitches, there's no thinking. It's not a thinking man's game anymore. Well, there's no strategy. So instead,
they're not taught to think. I told you.
I'm going to throw as hard as I can, spin it as fast as I can.
Piece of paper handed to them, and they put it in their pocket, and they pull it out, and it tells them what to do. They don't have to think. They're taught not to think. The guy thinking for them has never played baseball before. It's not good.
He's just running a bunch of simulations.
He's just a numbers guy. You know Nolan O'Brien? He played, 25 years in the big leagues? You know how many Tommy Johns he had?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah. It's crazy. I think, and there's going to be more big names.
He also threw 100.
Yeah, there's going to be more big names that go on the IL soon. I mean, Strider, the latest one, he's done for the year. He had elbow surgery. But I'm just watching these kids. I was watching the Orioles game, here on Sunday. And the closer for the Brewers, he's a second-year player, Abner Uribe for the Brewers. He's throwing, I mean, he's a little guy, and he's touching easy 100s. Mm. But there's nothing, and he got hit late in this game. The Orioles came back and won. They scored in the bottom of the eighth inning because he wasn't pitching. He was throwing.
Well, relievers don't either. I mean, look at all of them. The guy in Houston, the lefty hater. Mm-hmm. I mean, the kid for Baltimore. What's his name?
Kimbrel.
They don't pitch. They just throw. I mean, to an extent. But all these guys, they're going to reduce it down to two pitches. That's just the reality of relievers. You don't need as many as I have because you're going one inning and it's gung-ho. But they don't hold runners. Both of them lost games this past week because they don't care about holding runners. They let those guys steal second because I'm just going to strike somebody out. And then they end up giving up base hits and it cost them the game. Those guys don't really care to learn how to pitch. They're just, the closer just relying on stuff and stuff only.
Well, sometimes that's how you extend a career too nowadays. Like Mason Miller for the A's is now the closer, and he just comes out of the bullpen throwing 100, 102, and picking up another save.
By the way, decent idea of what he's doing too.
Yeah. By the way, the A's have won, 6 of 8? That's surprising. Look at them. Oakland A's. Soon to be Sacramento, soon to be Las Vegas.
Yeah, right.
A's.
Paul Blackburn's legit, man. He's going to get traded. That's what I'm saying. Atlanta, these teams. Atlanta's got a good relationship with Oakland. I think one of these guys need to go pick Paul Blackburn up. And when somebody picks him up, you're going to see a guy win 20 games. You're going to see a stud. He's already a stud, but we don't talk about him because he plays in Oakland. But he's legit.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody, and I think it's going to be Atlanta, somebody's going to go pick him up.
Top pitchers right now across Major League Baseball in terms of the ERA, Paul Blackburn, that's a zero right now. That's pretty good.
He's legit, dude.
He's pretty good. So good. So each and every week here on the show.
What was the closer? What team was that? Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. I was talking about Abner Uribe.
Yeah.
So each and every week here on the show, because it's only a once-a-week show, we're going to do a power ranking every week of the top five teams in baseball, top five teams that you can be looking to bet on, and what makes these teams so good and their prospects of winning in the future. We're going to call it Josh's Tower. How do you like that? Josh Towers, Josh's Tower?
I thought
that was clever. I mean, I'm giving myself credit for that. But here we go. Counting down.
And this is what we are going to work on as far as kind of what you and I feel our teams to follow for the week and maybe bet on.
This is just your top five teams right now. We'll look at the pitching matchups coming up for this week. But for right now, let's just take a look at the top five teams, according to Josh Towers, in the first edition of Josh's Tower. And we'll count it down from 5 to 1. And we'll start with the number five team. And it's a team that you just mentioned who has some pitching concerns. And that's probably why they're not higher up on your list. The Atlanta Braves at number five. Atlanta sitting here on the year. We mentioned the pitching injuries. But Atlanta still in first place in the National League East, but not quite the record they had hoped at this point. 9-5 with a plus 19 run differential.
Yeah, pitching's been struggling, obviously. Fried hasn't really been doing much.
Obviously, he got rocked his first two starts.
Strider got hurt. We caught up Alan Winans, who did good filling up for them last year. The Chris Sale sign was a big one. You know, when you go into these seasons, you want to have at least 6 starters to rely on. 7 would be ideal. You're going to need them. We all know that. So it's nice that they picked up Sale. But again, they're going to need somebody quick. And I'm thinking, like I said, Paul Blacker and somebody like that, that might be a nice addition if they can go get them. Let's not wait. The team's hitting 301 as a team right now. I would like to say it's not going to continue. It's a good enough team to where it could possibly continue with this offense, but we know offense is not going to keep up. And so really that's what's keeping them in the games right now. If these starters that they do have, and it will change, right? If these starters they do have can maybe keep it about 4 runs a game, the Braves are going to be dominant. But if they're going to give up the 6th and 7th that they're giving now, that's not going to get it done, Scotty. So This team needs to get better at pitching. The offense is phenomenal.
The offense is great. From a hitting perspective and from an analytical perspective, looking at the advanced stats, Atlanta is the number one team in baseball in WRC+, which is weighted runs created. It's a sabermetric stat that determines how many runs that you're going to create over the course of a game. Same thing with WOBA, WOBA, your weighted on base average, basically compared to what's going on around the league. Atlanta, number one at 375. And the number one, just if you're looking at the old school stats, they got the best team batting average in baseball at 299. The offense is fine.
I had 301. Am I late?
Oh, you're probably updated. Yeah, I might be late.
Base is 361. Hitting is 301. I mean, we're close enough.
Yep.
Listen, the team hit. They hit. And 1 through 9, they're just dangerous, right? So they're always going to be in the game. It's why we kept them in the top five, right? It's easy. We could easily throw them out of Milwaukee or out of Pittsburgh or something like that. But again, it's not very often that we're going to We're going to put offense as a reason why somebody can win consistently. But right now, the Braves, this team, that's reality.
What they're doing.
That's what they do, right?
Mm-hmm. The number four team on Josh's Tower is the Milwaukee Brewers, who are in first place in the NL Central at 10-4 with a plus 31 run differential, the second highest run differential in Major League Baseball, Josh.
Again, another team that surprisingly is hitting very well. They're hitting 290 as a team. Now, this team's not going to keep that up. No one is. But I would have never guessed this team offensively to hit 290. The other thing is their ERA is 385, and that's good, right? If they can keep it around there, this team always has a chance, and this is what they do. Even with a new manager, here's the other thing they're doing. They're stealing bases. Now, I know that everybody thinks that, the bases widened or the new rule changed that we can steal more now. So that's why the attempts are up.
Mm-hmm.
But that has nothing to do with the success rate of stealing. So I love the fact that whatever excuse you want to use to steal, I just like the fact that teams are doing it.
Yeah.
And it's adding a new dimension to our game that we used to have. Listen, whatever your reason is, and it's not right, but whatever your reason is, so be it. Run. Create offense. Hit and run. Put pitchers in pressure, right? A lot of these pitchers for a lot of years, we haven't talked about this ever, but a lot of these pitchers for the last few years, no one steals. Only last year have we started to steal, and it's been a very long time. None of these pitchers have had to work on holding runners or work on the run game. None of them have. And now all of a sudden, we added a new way to play, a new style of baseball that we used to see a lot, and that's stealing. And so now all these pitchers who have never learned how to hold runners are going, oh, what am I doing? And so you're seeing, you're exposing a lot of these pitchers who just get lazy and go through the motions. We're seeing it with PFPs as well, very bad. But all these pitchers who are going through the motions of don't know how to hold runners are getting exposed. I do like the fact that it's going to actually cause people to work a little bit. But you and I are going to see, and it's how we're going to add into betting as well, all of these people who are lazy, who went through the motions, the Miami Marlins. Oh, my God. You talk about a team who didn't do anything in spring training, put no effort in. Yep. They're showing us. Mm-hmm. There's some teams out there with bad records that shouldn't be this bad, but this is why.
Milwaukee, fourth most stolen bases in baseball right now. And, you know, you mentioned the pitchers not used to having to hold runners on up until last season with the rule changes, the wider bases and all these things. Catchers as well. Over the past, I want to say, and it's got to be recent because we didn't see this much. I think in the past 5 to 10 years, we've seen an increase now of the catchers that are like down on a knee.
It's bad
because they want to get the low strike. They got to frame the low pitch, right? But you can't be in a throwing position when you're on a knee like that. You're not Benito Santiago throwing on your knees, right? That's a throwback name. I mean, you can't throw a guy out that way.
But you also can't frame going up. The umpire's above you. He's looking over your shoulder. When your arm extends up and he sees it going up, he's not giving you the call because he saw movement. He knows that you're trying to steal it. When you soften your hands, you keep your glove up and you soften it, and it's a soft absorb back into my body. He just sees the ball coming in. So the ball could be low, could be out, could be down, but you're bringing this softly up to the middle of your body. He doesn't see that. So to him, it's a strike. Listen, if what happened to JT Realmuto doesn't show you that the way they're trying to frame by going under and up isn't wrong, then I don't know what is. But JT might have a broken wrist. I don't know. Did you see this?
Mm.
Okay, so same thing. These guys are getting on their knees, which I never understand with runners on third base. You can't slide to block. You can't slide to block. You can't rotate your shoulders out and around to keep the ball in front. They're late to positions, and then they're so caught up in working down to up to frame, again, something that's already a strike. It's already a strike.
Yeah.
Just catch it, but no.
And he gets hit with the pitch. He doesn't catch it. Yeah,
I'm going knee down. I'm going to go up. The ball, Scotty, leave my glove. The guy throws 98. He throws a sinker. We all know he throws a sinker. It's his pitch. And if he just leaves his glove, it's perfect paint. But
he's trying to frame. He's trying to steal the call.
He gives the target, and then he drops his glove. He's on a knee, and then he tries to come up, and he's late, and the ball sinks and hit him right in his wrist. Yes, it was a pass ball. Yes, it did score a run.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, JT Realmuto didn't even try to go hit the ball because you thought he was dead.
Yep.
And it doesn't look like it felt good. But what are you doing? Why are you on a knee? Why are you doing that on a pitch that's already a strike? Why did you move your glove in the first place? How do you not get your glove in position to catch the ball that you know is coming and you told him where to throw it and he dotted it? Like, it just shows you there's not enough time and that they have to make adjustments to this.
It was bad. In terms of catchers that you want to target, maybe when you're looking at teams that you want to bet stolen bases against, looking right now, it appears that Shane Langeliers of the A's has had the most stolen base attempts against, 10 stolen base attempts against, and he looks like 4 caught stealing, so that's a pretty good number there. Patrick Bailey of the Giants, 9 stolen base attempts. He's thrown out 3.
Okay.
Alejandro Kirk, same thing, 9 against 3. Kiebert Ruiz of the Nationals has only thrown out 2 of the 9. Luke Maley of the Reds has only thrown out 1 of the 9. How about this? Elias Diaz of the Rockies, 0 for 9.
Ugh,
9 stolen base attempts against. Also 0 for 9. Yanier Diaz of the Astros.
And they're struggling in a lot of areas right now. Again, I talked about Hader, like watching him not hold runners and then give up the hit and score the run and they end up blowing the save. And then you're talking about this. So they're, again, it's not just him though, right? That's what I'm saying. That stolen base against Hader was all Hader, 100% Hader. He did nothing to try to hold a runner. So, but it does go against the catcher stats, which isn't fair. So again, pitchers, it's our job. Mm-hmm. Like, my catcher, I don't care who you are. You can have a subpar arm. It doesn't matter. I can put you in a position to be more successful, and it's on me. And they're not, again, that team alone, from what I've seen, they're not doing that. Not everybody.
Let's go. So let's recap. Number five on Josh's tower is the Atlanta Braves. Number four, the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's talk about the number three team on Josh's tower, and that is the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles, second in the AL East right now, 9-6 record. They won on Sunday, avoiding the sweep against the Brewers. And with that win, they now have gone 96 consecutive series without being swept, Josh.
They have?
Yeah, fourth longest streak. Think about that. 96 consecutive series without being swept. So you know when the Orioles lose the first two games of a series, you bet on them that third game.
That's a piece of information.
Yeah.
For us bettors.
Oh, it was my three-star this yesterday.
What does that mean?
That was my best bet. Was the Baltimore Orioles. Why? And it was Corbin Burns against his former team, so I thought he got rocked, but
yeah. But it goes one of two ways.
Yeah, he got rocked, but
it's,
you know what?
I stayed away.
Jackson Holliday got his first major league hit. Congratulations. Dad was proud watching in the stands. You ever play with Matt Holliday?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, did you ever meet young Jackson back when he was like a little kid?
Mm-hmm.
To see him in the major leagues now, does it make you feel old?
That's my son and him when they were 6 years old.
Wow. Is that Jackson in the Rockies shirt?
Yeah.
Look at this. In the video, you can see this. We'll try to zoom in on it, but there it is. Wow, that's funny. Wow. Little Jay got his first major league hit, and it was off that kid, Abner Uribe. It was like 102 mile-an-hour pitch, and he drilled it into right field. And then he goes first to third on a ball that he had no business going to third on.
When you're playing intelligent and you're hustling, like, again, good secondary, you bought yourself 10-15 feet. When you don't get a good secondary, you're out by 10-15 feet. Some of these kids were taught right. That's a family that's been taught right. A lot of people go to them in the offseason to learn a lot of things. It's great what Matt's doing with baseball.
Yeah, they scored two runs in the bottom of the seventh to take a 5-4 lead. They get an insurance run in the eighth. The rookie Cowser is having a tremendous year as well.
Yeah, he is.
Four homers in four straight games. But this team's young, and I faded them before the season, Josh. I wanted to go under their win total because I thought it was a little high. I mean, compared to what it was last year, but I went under the 90.5 wins for the Baltimore Orioles, and I just thought last year they were a very young team that maybe peaked too early.
I agree.
And they weren't ready for that moment. And I thought the Yankees would be better, obviously. But watching this team, I know that they're special. I know that they're going to be special for years to come. But is this team as presently constituted right now, are they legit contenders in your mind? Or are they still too young?
Well, the game is young. Everybody's young. The
19
Brewers
and 20-year-old kid
gave a guy $100 million, and he's never seen the big leagues, and he's not ready for our game. He's not ready. But the more we're bringing these guys to the game, that means the game is becoming that. So to me, this is an advanced form of AAA baseball. So if that's the case, then the Orioles are right there. They're fit right in. It's another team that, yes, we're counting on getting John Means back. Wow, when they get him back.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if they didn't mess around and they went and got another pitcher. Why wait? Yeah, you got Corbin during the offseason. He's a one-year buy, unless you're going to extend him, right?
Yep.
Why wait? Go get one of these guys out there and separate yourself from the pack. You know the Yankees will, and they don't have to right now. Because the Yankees are what? What'd you say, 12-4?
Yankees are 12-4.
Okay, they're 12-4.
We'll
so right now they don't have to do that. But they will, and if they sense that these teams around them, which that division is going to be good, if they just sense that this division is going to keep right there on their heels, and they're going to go do it. So why wait? Why wait till July? Go do something right now. It's better to have too many than not enough.
Yeah, I really do like the Baltimore bullpen. You know, Cano is solid. Kimbrel's Kimbrel. Column is fantastic. He's got a lot of spin on the ball. And, yeah, I mean, when John Means returns to this rotation, they're going to be legit. But this
and
is
their
a
closer. How long is he out?
Oh, Batista, I don't think he's coming back at all this year.
Oh, he's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, still, that's why you get Craig Kimbrel. And that's why you still 100%. Have a guy like Yennier Cano. But this is between Rutschman and Jordan Westberg. You know, I saw a crazy stat. And let me go actually and look this up on StatCast right now. because I was watching, like I said, my best bet was on the Orioles on Sunday, so a little bit of a sweat. But Jordan,
do you give your plays out? Is that why you say best bet?
Yes.
Okay.
It's up on pregame.com. Yep.
Nice.
So Jordan Westberg, and by the way, we'll give you a promo code for you guys to save some money at pregame.com as well. You want to buy a picks package or a season-long subscription. You know, not to brag, humble brag, but your boy went 3-0 on Sunday.
Bad.
So, but this one was really interesting. So I'm watching the Orioles game, and the announcers are talking about, you know, third baseman Jordan Westberg. And his exit velo this year is like right around every time he hits, it's a hard hit ball. So what do I mean by that? Hard hit balls are measured with an exit velo of 95 miles per hour or higher. And so when you, every time you hit a baseball, if it goes 95 or higher off the bat, they measure that as a hard hit ball. Here are your major league leaders in hard hit percentage, which is the amount of balls that they hit that exceed 95 or higher. Bobby Witt Jr., number one in baseball. Miguel Sano.
He's a beast.
Yeah. Miguel Sano, Brandon Marsh.
Same team?
No. Miguel Sano of the Angels.
Oh, he's on the Angels.
Bobby Witt, obviously Casey. Brandon Marsh of the Phillies. William Contreras of the Brewers, having a tremendous year. Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies at five. Ty France, sixth of the Mariners. And at seven, Jordan Westberg of the Baltimore Orioles. Oh, by the way, Colton Cowser of the Orioles is ninth.
Swinging it.
58.3. These kids are hitting the ball hard.
Listen, they don't have, like we talked about this, they have too much, I never thought I'd say that, they have too much depth in that minor league system for years to come and nowhere to put them all. Again, my point, go get you a beast. Go get you an ace. Go get you another ace. Get you a beast. You have enough talent anywhere in that system that no one's going to know you lost any. Go get you one, baby.
Yeah.
So, I mean, dude, take over the division now and forever to come. I mean, like, this is your division for the next 10, 15 years if you want it. Go do it. Don't wait.
I mean, when you have Jackson Holliday at, like, second, Gunnar Henderson at short, Jordan Westberg at third.
He's it.
That infield is ridiculous.
I think to me, he's the future.
Jackson Holliday?
No.
Oh, Gunner? Gunner Henderson, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the future.
He's a stud. So Baltimore Orioles, the number three team on Josh's tower. Number two, the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers coming in as the leaders in the NL West right now with a record of 11-7. Coming off losing 2 of 3, though, to the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, unexpected, but again, you play each other so many times, and, you know, Yu Darvish is always going to give you a chance. I was shocked. Paxton didn't have it today, but he seemed to get Cronenworth up to the plate at the right time the time, and Cronenworth is an Achilles heel to that Padres team. Three guys got on base and on three walks. He walked two in a row right before him, and this guy ends up swinging at three of the four pitches he saw and hit into a double play, and only one of them would have been a strike. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, your team worked hard, Paxton struggling, and kudos to Paxton for not giving in, for not saying, you know what, I am just going to give in because I don't want to walk somebody else. Kudos to him to saying, you know what, I'm willing to walk you. You're going to hit my pitch and no pitch. And, of course, Cronenworth swinging at everything, does exactly. And so at that point, I thought the Padres are probably out of this one.
Well, because it made it 3-2 at that point.
No,
when
it kept it 1-1, I think.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
that. Bases loaded, one out.
No, yeah.
He hit double plays back-to-back at bats.
I thought you were talking about the double play. It was bases loaded with nobody out, and there was a double play that made it 3-2. It was a 3-1 game, and there was a chance for them to blow it wide open. And
well, they had a chance. Like, that's my point. They had a chance to blow it open a few times, but
And it was Campusuano grounded into the double play that I'm talking about with the base loaded to make it 3-2.
I think he did it. And the Dodgers end up scoring right afterwards. It happens every time, by the way.
Yeah.
You're in situations and you base loaded one out, base loaded no out, you don't score. The other team's going to score right away. And the Dodgers did. And I don't know if, like, Yu Darvish, the first pitchers, I don't know if it's just like, oh, my God, it's a deflating thing. But the Dodgers went and scored. And then again, Cronenworth comes up as next to bat and he grounds into a double play.
Again,
it's like you're watching the game. Paxton's struggling with control. Not like he ever does. He's missing high. He's pulling in. You bail him out for what reason? Because you're selfish? Because you're not willing to be patient? And so he got him up at the right times. I didn't think the Padres were going to come back. That's usually where the Padres kind of fall off and die, and the Dodgers kind of like flex on you. Mm-hmm, that's really what they do. It was impressive to see the at-bats the Padres continued. It was impressive to see Paxton actually for the Dodgers give them a shot, given all things considering. But great at-bat by the lefty who hit the bases loaded triple.
Yerickson Profar,
great piece of hitting. Two of those, man. Max Muncy and Profar both got pitches up and in, and just phenomenal jobs of getting their hand to them.
Yeah. I think the Padres are, they have some growing to do this year. But the talent is, I mean, they got so much talent on that lineup that it's hard to imagine them not contending for a wild card spot.
Is it hard? Every year, is it hard?
I mean, last year they really blew it. Last year they were incredible and they blew it. We know about that. But the Dodgers right now, number two in your power rankings, Josh's Tower. Is there any issues right now that you're concerned with the Dodgers?
Pitching?
Yeah. Because it's behind glass now and Yamamoto, it's really...
Well, you don't know what Yamamoto is because he doesn't look like he's anything. And Tyler's great, but he gets hurt all the time, right? So what are you counting on? And then everybody else is hurt. Now, this is, again, the depth you went and got a James Paxton, if people kind of forget. Well, that's the depth that winning teams get, right? That's a phenomenal pickup for him. Kind of like I think it was Tyler last year, right? Was it Anderson last year for them?
Yep.
Now, you put him in position, and he didn't have to be asked to do too much. And so, again, great pickups. But all of their guys are depth. The Bobby Miller kid, okay, we got good stuff. Everybody's got good stuff. Everybody throws 100. We've addressed this. But again, when you don't know how to pitch, when you start to struggle mentally, what do? And that's where he's at. He's kind of struggling mentally. He's not trusting himself. So again, the pitching for the Dodgers.
You're going to rely on
is what worries me. What's the what's the record of the Padres
Gavin
and Dodgers?
Stone you're going to rely on?
Right, you're going to have to rely on somebody.
Yeah.
And that's my point. They're great. Let me see. So the Dodgers are 11-7, right?
Yep.
And the Padres are 9-9. So I know it's only two games. But you're talking about ERAs of 428 and 424. And you're talking about batting average of 264 and 258. So stats-wise, when it comes to those, these two teams are dead even. But why is one 4 over and one is even? Because of coaching and because of what Cronenworth did today. The Dodgers don't do that stuff that often. The Dodgers stay in situational baseball. The Dodgers pick their teammates
three
up.
Three MVP candidates on the team.
Right. But you just said how good the Padres are supposed to be.
Yeah.
They have MVP candidates.
Sure.
They got
Machado and Tatis. And,
right. Yeah. Bogarts, Tatis, Machado. They got a lot of them, right? So, again, we're talking about who cares what your name is. Your averages are the exact same. Who cares what your names are? Your ERAs are the exact same. So, again, why does one team continuously win and one doesn't? And, again, it's the situational baseball. It's the little things that the Dodgers will do as a team, that giving themselves up, not trying to be heroes all the time, where the Padres can't do that consistently. But they could. They choose not to.
Mm-hmm.
Same numbers, same stats, two completely different winning percentages. And it's for those reasons of what we saw today. Padres are going to have to man up and give themselves up. They're going to have to sacrifice at bats if they want to win. The Dodgers are going nowhere. Arizona's obviously a good team. They prove that.
Yeah.
So, again, you have to start doing the little things.
Number one team on the first edition of Josh's Tower, the New York Yankees, with the best record in Major League Baseball at 12-4, despite losing on Sunday in extra innings to the Cleveland Guardians. In my opinion, and it's not just my opinion, Josh, it's in everyone's opinion. I mean, Juan Soto has changed the face of this Yankees team.
People are talking about this.
Yeah, if they're able to sign him long term, it would be tremendous. But for this year, I mean, the Yankee lineup with Soto in it right now is just so scary. And he's such a dynamic all around player that it's not all incumbent upon Aaron Judge to hit 60 home runs anymore. I mean, yeah, that's great. Judge does Judge things. It's great. But when Judge is hurt and the rest and Stanton's striking out every at bat and no one else on the Yankees is doing anything, well, that's when they lose games.
Stanton's never been a person that you're going to count on, right?
But the thing is now with Soto, it lengthens the lineup. It gives the Yankees that much needed 1-2 punch with Aaron Judge. This is as scary of a Yankee lineup as I can remember.
I'm the only one, huh, that doesn't think Soto's that great. I would never give him a long-term extension if I'm a GM. But I do, I'll say this.
25 years old.
Yeah, I don't care. I just don't. I like the fact that he plays every game. I will say that. We don't see that very much anymore in baseball. And the dude puts in 162, and there's a lot to be said for that. So, dude, kudos to that. He does have a name that has created scare in pitchers. So you're right. There's a lot of protection. Whether he's successful or not, he is protecting the guys around him because he's created a name for himself. The one thing I'll say that I feel like he's finally getting taller in the box. And I think the taller he gets, the more leverage he's going to create, the more dangerous he gets. Mm. That shorter Soto that we saw at the end of Washington and into San Diego where he gets shorter.
Crouches down, yeah.
He can't create leverage. It's a flat swing. And I think that's why he started to really struggle offensively and struggle with his power numbers. But he's taller now. His stance is a little bit closer together with his legs, so he creates a little bit more height. And he's creating leverage down. Again, if he stays here, this is where he's super, super mm-hmm. dangerous. I like this version of Juan Soto, this stance, this swing. I like this guy.
He's driving in runs. He's walking a ton, which is great.
Well, that's the other thing for this team. They're leading the league in walks.
Yeah.
So, again, you don't have to get on base. Create things. Get on base. Create. They don't steal. Create stolen base opportunities. Create hit and run opportunities. Get on base and give other people a chance. Just get on base. We as pitchers, I don't like to pitch with dudes on base. So, again, for these guys to be willing to walk, which is something that a lot of teams have stopped doing and what the Yankees stopped doing. And I think – let me pull up Soto because – I wouldn't be surprised if he has a majority of their walks because
he's Aaron Judge are second and third
walk
in baseball
Judgey for sure
at 16 and 15. So okay. Mookie Betts and Judge each have 16 walks to lead Major League Baseball. Soto's next at 15.
So I'm giving Stanton a chance and whoever else a chance to be successful. It's very important, man. The fact that they're let's go down the lineup
and
quick,
no
right?
And right now no LeMahieu right now in this lineup.
Oh wait till he's back
and no Garrett Cole in the rotation. The unsung hero of the Yankees right now is Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe is having a tremendous season.
Well, the pitchers are pitching 2.78 ERA, so
that's like one. I think they have the best ERA in baseball.
If not, it's top two. How about you know who team has the least amount of walks in baseball, and this is why they'll struggle?
Who's that?
Baltimore.
Mm.
41 compared to 84. So again, they can hit, and they're young, and the Yankees may not hit as well or whatever. But the offset is the Yankees are getting on base via the walk. And Baltimore's not. So Baltimore's relying on contact where the Yankees are relying on a couple different things. Baltimore cleans that up, and they're not going to right now. They're a very, very, very young team.
Yeah.
Young players aren't patient. So, again, as a pitcher, you're not willing to walk. Well, I'm going to wait you out, and I'm going to have you chase, right? So that's my one advantage over the Orioles. As pitchers, you get these veterans on the mound. They're going to have a little bit more success. You get these young guys on the mound versus Baltimore, and Baltimore's going to eat them alive.
So let's take a look at these the five teams. Just to recap, in the first edition of Josh's Tower by former Major League pitcher Josh Towers. See, it's a clever pun. It's a fun wordplay, Josh. Number five, the Atlanta Braves. Number four, the Milwaukee Brewers. Number three, the Baltimore Orioles. Number two, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And number one, the New York Yankees. And let's take a look at those five teams and the schedules for this week in Major League Baseball. So taking a look at the series that will begin here this week for the we'll start with number five, the Atlanta Braves. The Braves will start a series in Houston against the Astros. And normally I'd say that's a very tough place to play, but I have not liked the way that the Astros are playing right now. It is a AL West swing here as they will be in Houston for three games, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then they return home where they will host the Texas Rangers for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is a big six games for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, I mean, all year. I don't know, like, who they got first? I'm looking at Texas right now. I was just seeing who Texas had pitching. The good thing is Houston's struggling pretty bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Houston's not the same team.
No, not at all.
Houston's got some guy Spaghetti throwing this game. Spencer Arrighetti.
He's got raging Cajun. My buddy BJ Ryan coached him in college.
Yeah,
loves the kid. But again, like what happens with your major league debut is they're either good or bad. There's no offset. And he struggled. Talking to BJ, he's a big fan. I mean, not just because he's a raging Cajun and he coached him, but he said the kid has the stuff.
Yeah.
So there we go. Like we got
And then it'll be Lopez against Brown, Fried against France. Sale takes on Uvalde in the Texas matchup.
I wasn't impressed with France. What did he do the other day? He did something that was, God, it was so uncalled for. Did he throw at somebody? Oh, is that thing that he did with the Yankees? Kind of IQ-ish. Stepped off the mound, stepped back on. It's supposed to be a time. They didn't give it. Then he throws the pitch. Yeah. It's a strike. Now listen, if the umpires are going to give me stuff like that, I'm taking it.
Did you see Nestor Cortez yesterday with the fake pitch?
Yesterday or today?
Sunday, yeah. Did you see it with the fake pitch?
Why is that legal?
Because there's nobody on base. It's not a balk. There's nobody on base.
Well, why would it be a balk if there's somebody on base?
Because it's a move to deceive the batter, right?
But you don't.
Isn't that the definition of a balk? Like you can't stop and start your motion.
Once you start, the runner? Because that's what you're suggesting.
To deceive the runner, yeah. Because once you start moving towards home plate, you have to continue with the pitch. Nestor, with nobody on base, does that whole swinging his leg back and forth, and then he pump faked throwing his arm.
I can do all that, but once my foot crosses behind the rubber, I have to go home. So as a runner, I know that.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't do it runners on base, because once my foot goes home, I can twist and do all that nonsense. But as soon as it goes back, I know you have to pitch home so I can do whatever I want. That's why we don't do it with runners on base. But the fake pitch thing, I can't – first of all, I don't understand why – what was the point of him doing it?
It was an 0-2 pitch. He was just having – he was.
I don't think so. I bet if you asked him – and he was honest, I think he was off balance. And he faked it to kind of get himself back on balance. Because if you watch that video, when he swung, his upper half started to go. And I think he did it to keep himself back to regain. I honestly think he was just off balance.
Yeah. There is nothing presently in the rules that would make what Cortez did illegal. But I'm sure that Major League Baseball might come out with something that you can't really do that. But it was funky. All right, so that's the Atlanta Braves and their schedule coming up here this week. Again, 3 in Houston against the Astros, and then 3 at home against the Texas Rangers. As far as the Milwaukee Brewers, the number 4 team on Josh's tower, their schedule this week, they will face the San Diego Padres in Milwaukee for 3 games. And then they will go to St. Louis for 3 games. So the first matchup here on Monday is going to be Joe Musgrove for San Diego against Joe Ross for the Brewers. That's a good series.
Is there a doubleheader?
No. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sorry, buddy. I was looking at Tuesday with Dylan Cease. And I don't bet the Brewers. I'm always on the wrong side. I mean, they're doing well. I can bet them to win right now. They're going to lose. It's one team that I'd never bet on. I don't bet them to win. I don't bet them to lose. I stay away.
A little unpredictable, too unpredictable.
I'm always just on the wrong side. So to me, it's just easier to go somewhere else.
Baltimore Orioles schedule this week. Again, 96 consecutive series without being swept. They will host Minnesota for 3 games, and then they will head to Kansas City for 3 games. That is going to be a fun matchup in Kansas City later on this week.
Yeah, two young teams with some absolute star power. Bobby Witt's so good.
Yeah, that is going to be a fun series to watch coming up.
We've
this
had
weekend.
Some good pitching matchups this past week. Buto and Reagan's today. Mm-hmm. We had Lodolo and the kid for the White Sox.
Garrett Crotchet.
Oh, what? I mean, you're talking about...
He struck out the first 6. He gave up 5 runs in the second inning. I had his over 6.5 strikeout prop that game, and he gave up 5 runs in the second inning, but he struck out... The first 6 outs of the game were strikeouts. Yeah, he had 7 strikeouts in three innings.
He's been hurt on the DL with Tommy John, but he also came up and they threw him in the pen.
He was a reliever last year,
but
yeah.
But you talk about two possible... we saw a glimpse of the future with the last couple of days and had some great pitching matchups. Again, Cole Reagans for KC is...
Stud. Absolute stud.
Stud.
For the Dodgers, they have 3 games against the Nationals at home, then 3 games against the Mets at home. And the Yankees coming up this week, they will take on the Blue Jays in Toronto for 3 games, and then they'll be home.
Toronto's got to clean this up, dude.
They'll be home to take on the Tampa Rays coming up this weekend. Yeah, what's going on with Toronto?
Well, their offense is one of the worst I've ever seen, and I'm not just saying that. Like they're hitting .232, but if you look at their roster, there's nothing. So what do you got? You got Springer? Okay. You got Vladdy? Still hasn't done anything. You got Bichette? Okay, so he led the league in hitting, I think, as far as hits, but he's one of the worst base runners of all time. He does everything wrong, so if he gets on, he usually gets off. This is a team that doesn't do any of the fundamental stuff. Like, it's hard for me to say this being a Jays fan and backer, but this is one of the worst offensive teams out there. And everything they do is relied and based on that pitching. Well, the pitching struggle a little bit. Bassett is not it. He had a good game last game, but Bassett's not it right now. He goes Monday. They got some serious Gausman's been getting torched. Mm-hmm. So this team, they're not winning this division. They're not making the playoffs. We talk about making moves now. They don't have a minor system with anybody. Alec Manoah is still struggling like nobody's business.
Yeah.
This team has to do something now, or they're going to watch everybody blow past them. But again, pull up one of their lineups. Look at their players. Who do they got? They have 122 hits in baseball. Let me tell you.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, this guy could, stunk for the Yankees.
The hits is one of the worst. Yeah, they have nothing. Now, again, I'm not saying disrespectful. I'm just saying, with all honesty, got 122 hits is one of the worst. 232 average, one of the worst. They don't steal. They got 7 stolen bases. That's it. They only got, I think it's 14 home runs. Let me pull this up.
They're smack dab right in the middle of the league in terms of WRC plus. They're 102, which is like just dead average. They're weighted on base 19th in baseball at 307.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Nothing to like.
It's just there's nothing
to like at all.
And who picks who up? There's no depth. You talk about depth around baseball. Like, these guys don't have it, unfortunately. Man, I feel bad, but they don't. They got to go do something. They mm-hmm. can't let this division run by them. They have too much money invested in their pitching staff, and they're at the right time to let this stuff go by the wayside. Otherwise, what you're going to see, unfortunately, is Toronto sell. So those guys, Yusei, Gazi, mm-hmm. like, all of these guys might be for sale.
I'm sure they will be.
Atlanta, they might be for sale. Go get them.
I'm sure John Schneider will be out of a job at some point as well.
Bad.
Are the White Sox just the worst team you've seen? Like,
them or the Marlins, but again, when you watch them play, you can tell that they don't care. They didn't. You can tell how much they didn't do in spring training.
Yeah.
You can tell they went to the motions. Well, remember,
did you see the game where the first base coach didn't go out to coach first base?
There you go.
They didn't have a first base coach?
And anybody could have ran out that point. Yeah. But you're not thinking about that. You're not thinking about him. Why did he not go out? Do you know?
Well, they said he was too busy looking at, like, the iPad or something in the dugout. Yeah,
that's
whatever,
fair. But that's fair. Maybe he actually was putting work in.
Maybe. This team, I think that was just the cover-up.
This team's hitting 200. They got 6 stolen bases. On top of the 6 bags, they've been caught 5 times. This is the only team that's been caught that many times, I think, them in Philly. Getting 6 bags, 5 caught, so they're hitting 200. Whatever that is, they have 8, which is, like, the worst home runs. 8.
Yep.
The only team with single digits. Do you know how many RBIs they have?
It's a pathetic number, right?
31. 34 runs scored.
Yeah.
Do you know where
they're so bad.
Do you know where that falls?
They're dead last. They're so
dead last in every offensive category in baseball. Oakland makes them.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, the A's are hot right now. A's won 6 of 8.
Chicago's the worst offensive team in baseball. So what are you doing when you bet that team?
Well, you bet against them every time.
Unders. You can't. It's crazy.
So let's take a look
This is awful. This is
so
bad.
Let's take a look at the White Sox schedule here this week, and let's think on how we're going to pick against them. So they have 3 games with the Kansas City Royals.
Bad.
You have Lugo against Nastrini. Nick Nastrini is getting the start for the White Sox. That's the game coming up here on Monday. Tuesday, it's Eric Fetty against Brady Singer. Brady Singer's had a real nice start to the season, 2-0 with a 0.98 ERA.
I wonder why
Chris Flexen against Michael Wacha. Let me tell you something. Chris Flexen has been the ultimate fade this early in the season. So on Wednesday, for sure. I mean, I might just take a look at Royals minus -1.5 in every single one of these games.
That's worth it to look at that. Lugo's great.
Yeah.
Still doesn't get the credit he deserves.
But think about that. Like we know we have the Royals on the road, and you know that if you're going to lay the minus -1.5, you want to take the road team because you're guaranteed that 9th inning at bats, right? So for Monday's matchup, it's minus -112, minus -1.5. I might just do it every day. I might just do Royals minus -1.5 every game.
This is Lugo, right? This is his rookie year in 2016. 267. Then a 4.
Remember, he was at the bullpen for the Mets.
Then a 4.71, then a 2.66, 2.70, then a 5.16, then a 3.5, a 3.6, a 3.5, and a 1.4. Like, this dude is it. Like, he's it. And this is a guy that was start. No, no, go to the pen. Go to the pen. No, no, hey, we need you to start.
Yeah, yeah,
no, no,
back, and forth, back and forth, and they, back and forth.
And even with as hard as that is, one of the hardest things you can do, he still has been nothing but phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Huge pickup for KC. The guy's been awesome. 18 innings, 9 strikeouts. What does that tell you? The guy knows how to pitch. He's 2-0 in 3 starts. 1.45 ERA. He's great.
Royals are good. Royals are, I would say, when we did our the Josh's Tower and we had the Braves at 5, would you say the Royals were like one of the teams you considered at 5?
I wrote the Royals on this one.
You wrote the Royals?
That's what I thought we were going to go with, yeah.
All right.
So they were
right there on the cusp. So 5-6, 5-A you want to call them.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe next week on next week's edition of Josh's Tower, when we do the power rankings here in baseball, the top 5 teams, it could be the Kansas City Royals coming in that top 5, especially if they get 3 wins here over the Chicago White Sox. He's incredible. I'm telling you, I'm going to do Royals minus 1.5 in every single one of these games. You could book it right now.
I want to see his numbers just compared, like where the innings are to strikeouts, et cetera.
And if you're looking at the team's records on the run line this year, the Chicago White Sox, 7-8 on the run line this year. So, you know, they're not exactly ever, you know.
They got Crochet game 3, you said.
Crotchet, yeah.
Yeah, Crotchet.
That kid's great. Not
Crochet? I always call him Crochet.
I say Crotchet.
I got you.
I don't know. I just call him Garrett Crotchet. Why not?
31 Ks and 4 punches. Like, his stuff is like that. That's what I'm saying. When he matches up versus Nick Lodolo, you're like,
Well, he's got a matchup coming up on Friday against Spencer Turnbull in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And again, like, I want to say, like, first 5 under for that, because Crotchet, I think, is great. And one of the things that I talk about with Steve Fezzik here at pregame is, you know, betting on bad teams with good pitchers. You know, like when Blackburn plays for the A's, or, you know.
I've taken him first. Sorry, I got away from the mic. I've taken Blackburn. I bet him full game the other day, but I've taken him first 5 and every start.
But, like, Crotchet's a guy that I look at like that. But then I said, you know what?
It's just the White Sox.
I can't trust them, which is why I did the K prop instead of doing the first 5. And like I said, it gave up 5 runs in the second inning, but he struck out 6 in the first 2 innings.
Again, what did we just say? 25-4 or whatever it is this year?
Yeah, he's incredible. It's so we should look at the strikeout props for Crotchet moving forward there, especially maybe against the Phillies.
I got my money at South Point right now. We don't get any of those props there. So I miss out on some of those.
Diversify, brother. You got to diversify. You got to have your stuff everywhere right now. Real quick stats, if you're looking to fade teams on strikeout props, the lowest strikeout rate team in baseball is the Houston Astros, followed by the Arizona Diamondbacks and Texas Rangers. The highest strikeout rate teams in Major League Baseball, the Oakland A's, Seattle Mariners, Minnesota Twins, Boston Red Sox. So if you're looking at K-props, those are the teams you want to fade/avoid. Josh, good stuff. First episode here of the Inside Pitch. We'll come to you each and every Sunday night into Monday as we kind of get ready for the week that is and recap the week that was in Major League Baseball with a fresh edition of our version of the Power Rankings, which is Josh's Tower, each and every episode. Let me give you guys a promo code to save some money at pregame.com. Here is an exclusive promo code for this podcast, The Inside Pitch, with my man Josh Towers right here. We're going to give you $50 off any Major League Baseball to the All-Star Break subscription. This is what I mean. You can go to your favorite pregame pro, whether it's myself, Scott Seidenberg, whether it's, you know, Griffin Warner, Andre Gomes. We have a lot of great baseball handicappers at pregame.com. Go and select the MLB to the All-Star Break All Access. So it's every pick throughout the Major League Baseball first half through the All-Star Break. You can take $50 off of that purchase if you use the promo code JOSH50. JOSH50 will save you $50 on an MLB All Access to the All-Star Break for your favorite pregame pro. Like I said, you can go to my page at pregame.com, Scott Seidenberg. Click on the All Access to the All-Star Break, $50 off using the promo code JOSH50. Take advantage of it right now, only good for a limited time. So take advantage now as a listener to this new Inside Pitch baseball podcast with myself and Josh Towers. I'm Scott Seidenberg. He's former Major League pitcher Josh Towers. This has been The Inside Pitch, brought to you by pregame.com.